Our next case this morning is number 06-2674, the United States against Juma. Ms. Brown.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Tara Brown. I am an Assistant United States Attorney with the United States Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Illinois. The District Court granted the defendant's motion for a new trial in this case because, according to the District Court, the jury should have been instructed that the government bore the burden of disproving beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant acted in reliance on public authority. In light of that ruling, this appeal raises three issues. The first of which is that the District Court erred in granting the new trial because, pursuant to the Supreme Court's ruling in Dixon, which came down in 2006, the defendant, not the government, bears the burden of persuasion to prove his affirmative defense of public authority, and that that error was plain. I'd like to now address the elements of the plain error analysis.
Are we even in plain error review here? It's my understanding that the government specifically asked during the jury instruction conference for an instruction that the government did not need to disprove the affirmative defense of public authority, consistent with the commentary to the pattern instruction, and the district court declined to give that instruction, so the issue was raised and discussed and preserved. So why are we even in plain error review?
We are in plain error review, Your Honor, because we presented a jury instruction that did put the burden on the defendant. The government then withdrew that instruction during the jury instruction conference, portions of which are not in the transcript because portions of that jury instruction conference took place off the record. We are here now because Dixon came. I can't explain that, Your Honor. I know that Judge Dara held portions of the conference off the record, and it's not reflected in the transcript.
Did anyone ask him to put it on the record?
No, neither party did at the time. We withdrew our request for the instruction in light of the Seventh Circuit pattern instruction. Dixon had not been decided by the Supreme Court at that time, and in looking at the Seventh Circuit pattern instruction, it explicitly instructs the jury that a concept or a further definition that the defendant act knowingly is that a defendant does not act knowingly if he acts in reliance on public authority. And as such, the commentary to that instruction explicitly suggests that the jury not be instructed that the government bears the burden of disproving the existence of the offense because it is confusing. And so in light of the district court's decision to give the public authority instruction, we elected to withdraw our proposed instruction and proceed along the lines with the Seventh Circuit. Because Dixon came down, however, after the trial and after the post-trial motions, and because of the tension that exists between Dixon and the pattern instructions, we believe that this is an opportunity for this court to exercise its discretion not only to remedy the prejudice that the government suffered in the instant case, but also to resolve the tension that exists between the pattern instructions and Dixon. Because Dixon is explicit that the rule on which the party bears the burden of proving or disproving an affirmative defense to a federal crime, unless Congress directs otherwise, now requires the defendant, rather than the government, to bear the burden of proving that affirmative defense.
Your response to Judge Sykes' question. You withdrew your objection to giving the Seventh Circuit instruction.
We withdrew our instruction, which actually was contrary to the Seventh Circuit pattern instruction, and asked if the... We initially asked him to give an instruction that would be in line with Dixon. That's actually in line with circuit law to the contrary of the Seventh Circuit.
Is that on the record?
It is in the record. We referenced the jury instructions, and the proposed jury instructions are in the record, Your Honor.
So whatever you believe, it's now we're still in plain error because of that.
That's correct, because we initially went... One of the things that the Dixon court discusses is this conflict that exists between the circuits. The Seventh Circuit was basing its position in part on the Seventh Circuit pattern instructions and what have you. There were other circuits, however, that indicated that the jury should be instructed that it is not the government's burden to disprove the offense, but rather it is the defendant's burden to prove the affirmative defense. And that was the reason that we proposed that instruction. What Dixon makes clear, though, in referring to the Talbot decision, is that is why the Supreme Court decided to take the case and resolve the issue because of the conflict between the Seventh Circuit and other circuits as to how to deal with this issue. And what Dixon makes clear is that the controlling rule is that the burden is on the defendant to prove his affirmative defense. And of course, the government still maintains the burden of proving all the elements of the offense of a crime, but an affirmative defense, such as a defense of public authority, does not negate those elements of the crime.
I'm anticipating where you're going, but so if we agree with you that the Dixon-like instruction should have been given, can we affirm the judgment of conviction, or was the instruction that was actually given wrong as well and prejudicial?
Your Honor, you may affirm the conviction, and the instruction that was given was perhaps an error of Dixon, but the government affirmatively assumed the burden, not only in agreeing to that instruction, but furthermore in taking on the burden in its arguments. It certainly isn't prejudicial, given that at the end of the day, from the government's perspective, we obtained a just and fair verdict. We obtained a just and fair conviction. The defendant was convicted following a 4-day trial and after being instructed.
The instruction was wrong and prejudicial to the government, then?
It was, but the question is, if you reach... the way I interpreted the question was, if you reach the question of Dixon, can you still affirm the conviction, but then in turn have to reverse the conviction because the instruction was wrong?
Right, because the error inured to the benefit of the defendant and prejudiced the government by placing the burden on the government.
Yes, Your Honor.
Didn't Judge Darrow think, though, that on bottom line, the jury instructions were confusing?
Judge Darrow did indicate that the jury instructions were confusing. However,
they look a little confusing to me, because the only way you bring in the public authority is through knowingly.
Certainly.
It takes a little trying to figure that out.
Your Honor, I believe that the government's that the jury instructions and the question of whether the jury instructions are accurately and fairly representing the law, if this court decides that to not decide the appeal on the issue of Dixon, but instead to decide whether or not the jury was properly instructed, it's the government's belief that the jury instructions were very clear. We take issue with Judge Darrow's consideration of the complexity of the jury instructions. The jury was instructed that it was the government's burden of proving the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, that the government had to prove each and every one of those elements beyond a reasonable doubt, that the defendant had to have acted knowingly, and then if the defendant, in explaining the knowingly instruction or the acting knowingly element, then a defendant does not act knowingly if he acted in reliance on public authority. But it was clear from the instructions and from the arguments that the only burden that any party had was the burden of the government to prove the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And the instructions were clear, and I believe that the closing arguments were clear, particularly the opening closing argument in which government counsel said, "Now, are you asking what public authority is? Or how does one not act knowingly? I'm glad you asked," and actually displayed the public authority defense instruction on top of the projection machine in Judge Darrow's courtroom, and then proceeded to go through why it is that the government's evidence proved the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But beyond the issue of Dixon, which indicates that the district court erred in granting the motion for a new trial because it was the defendant's burden of disproving, of proving his affirmative defense by a preponderance. In the alternative, if you seek not to decide the issue on Dixon, in light of the pattern instructions, the district court did properly instruct the jury. The burden never shifted. And even if this court were to find that the jury was not properly instructed, it is the government's position that any error was harmless because the testimony was absolutely clear that at no time did the Drug Enforcement Administration authorize the defendant to purchase or sell pseudoephedrine. At no point in time did they authorize the defendant to engage in any kind of conduct in which he engaged in this particular case, and in no circumstance did the defendant ever purchase, did they ever authorize the defendant to go ahead and sell pseudoephedrine to someone without them being present. And for the jury to conclude otherwise, for the district court to conclude otherwise, would require them to have engaged in rank speculation about facts that were not in evidence.
If I may, I have one other question. The jury send any questions back to the court during deliberations?
No, they didn't.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. We'll hear now from Mr. McDermott.
May it please the court, your honors, counsel. My name is Michael McDermott. I represent Mr. Juma. Co-counsel on this matter with me is Ms. Susan Schatz. Your honors, there's a couple areas I would like to discuss. First of all, with respect to the standard of review in this case, just in a general comment, I think it's worth highlighting that when the jury instructions are involved, it's settled law in the circuit that the Court of Appeals must determine whether the jury was misled in any way and whether it had an understanding of the issues, and that the district court is always in the better position than the Court of Appeals to assess the probable reactions of the jurors. And that case, Van Eyel case, is cited in the beginning of my brief. With respect to the forfeiture and plain error issues, the only thing I'd like to say about that is the government does concede that the issue was forfeited. They withdrew that instruction, the initial instruction at that conference. And in defense of the U.S. attorney, I don't believe that any of us knew that we were off the record at that point. That wasn't, at least that's my recollection. And the government has not, at any point in their brief or during their argument, given any reason as to why they failed to or neglected to urge the proposition to keep that instruction. I mean, they actually didn't just passively fail to do something. They argued in favor of that instruction and then withdrew it. And I think that bears on the plain error, whatever this court decides with respect to the plain error.
Don't you stand in this case a chance of winning the battle and losing the war, though?
I think that with respect to the appeal, that's a distinct possibility. However, your honors have read my brief, I think that the Dixon case is factually distinguishable from Mr. Juma's case. And I don't understand how the government believes that the differences in the instructions were in favor of the defendant. I think that, if anything, it just shows, especially in light of the government's argument with respect to the closing arguments, that their closing arguments somehow shored up the problems with the jury instructions. I think that all that the government arguing that their closing arguments and what they put up on the overhead during closing arguments somehow changing or altering or somehow just making different the jury instructions that were read in the four corners of the page, the words on or that Judge Darrow read to the jurors, the instructions that were tendered, they went back with the jury, and somehow their closing arguments magically or mysteriously changed the understanding of what was written in black and white on those pages, I think just supports Mr. Juma's contention that the instructions were confusing. I think that they did need to be, there was a problem. It's highlighted in my brief, the affirmative defense has no burden of persuasion attached to it. The jury was sent back with the elements instruction for the offense Mr. Juma was charged with, and then they were, of course, that instruction included that the government has the burden to prove all the elements of the offense beyond a reasonable doubt, that goes without saying. Then this other instruction, expressly not included in the elements, is sent back there with him. It says this is public authority and defines public authority. However, it never says the burden is on the defendant, the burden is on the government, the burden is reasonable doubt, the burden is beyond a preponderance of the evidence.
But, counsel, your argument ignores that the instruction, the public authority instruction that was given, was explicitly linked to the knowingly requirement of the offense, and the jury was adequately instructed, fully instructed, on the government's burden of proof on all of the elements of the offense. So,
yes, Your
to
Honor.
The extent that there was
an
error in the instructions under Dixon, it prejudiced the government by placing the burden improperly on the government.
I don't believe that it did, because actually I think that especially after reading Dixon, in Dixon, the affirmative defense was different. It was duress and not public authority. However, in that case, the Supreme Court, what eventually went up to the Supreme Court, but in the district court, the defendant was, the jury was instructed, the whatever the elements of the affirmative defense are, the burden, it plainly stated, the burden is on the defendant, and that burden is a preponderance of the evidence. That, and the Supreme Court, of course, adopted that. They said that is okay. That is the new law. However, that is missing. Those last two sentences, the jury was never instructed that that burden is on the defendant.
But how would that have made anything different? Because without that instruction, the burden was on the government
I
to
don't
prove
think,
knowingly, which means the absence of a public authority affirmative defense.
I think that a fair reading of the instructions is that, yes, that be, of course the government carries the burden in a criminal case beyond a reasonable doubt, but then they were given this other thing. It's not an element. It's not on the elements instruction. It's something else. We don't know who has to prove it or what standard it has to be proven by.
Well, the instruction on its face says, a defendant who acts in reliance on public authority does not act knowingly and should not be found guilty. That explicitly ties this issue to the element of the offense, that is, that the defendant act knowingly.
Yes.
So that being the case, it was part of the government's burden, and that's what the jury was instructed on.
That instruction was given, absolutely. But, however, I think that especially in light of Dixon, the instruction that was given in that case and what the Supreme Court now says is supposed to happen, I think that the jury instruction in this case was, it was devoid of who has the burden and what the burden is. And I think that if I remember correctly, the Seventh Circuit pattern instruction was also different. It was, the Seventh Circuit pattern instruction didn't state either what the burden was. I think that this committee comment, which wouldn't go back to the jury anyway, states that the government does not have the burden of disproving, but it doesn't say that as part of the instruction, as part of the elements of the public authority defense, it doesn't state specifically this is the burden and it's on the defendant. The jury, again, wouldn't know. So in light of Dixon, I think that the Seventh Circuit pattern is, and the government apparently agrees, that's one of the reasons they say that plain error should be reached, or this issue should be reached with plain error, is because they agree that there's something wrong with that instruction, even in light of Dixon. So there is, an obvious difference between both the pattern instruction and the instruction that Mr. Juma received and what is now controlling under Dixon. I think that the instructions are different. And
how did that harm you, though, or your client?
I don't think that the jurors
understood that it was his burden to prove this affirmative defense?
What the jurors understood was
that it was the government's burden.
I don't think that they knew. At this point, Your Honor, it's speculation. We don't know. The jurors never issued a note. They were never questioned. They were never called back to court. None of that ever happened. We don't know. And I think that in a criminal case where the burden's on the government, I don't know. I would be speculating. Any answer
to
that question?
What we do know is that the jury was instructed that the burden of proof was beyond a reasonable doubt and that it was the government's burden to prove every element of the offense, including the offense, the element that the defendant acted knowingly. And then the jury was further instructed that knowingly means that he didn't act in reliance on public authority. So this operated as a further definition of the element of knowingly the burden of proof of which was on the government. So the error was against the government and in favor of your client.
I don't understand. I don't see that as being as clear-cut as Your Honor. I think that the jury was given its elements instruction, and then it was given this other thing, and it just said, go figure it out. And, you know, there is a difference between the instruction in Dixon and the instruction that both the pattern instruction on this issue and the instruction that was tendered to Mr. Juma's jury. I think that it's significant, and I think that without that guidance to the jury, it's not clear what they decided or how they decided it, whose burden it was. And I mean, obviously, as to the elements, yes, but as to proving or disproving.
Let's put it this way. Worst case scenario, the jury thought that it was the defendant's burden to prove the public authority defense, and that's the law. So how have you been harmed?
There's also no, what Your Honor is saying is true, that they believed that the burden was on the defendant.
I'm not suggesting that's what happened.
No, I'm hypothetically.
Because they were instructed differently.
Hypothetically,
but,
as Your
right.
Honor, no. As
worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario, if, and it would be a worst case scenario, because jurors heard, or the jurors thought that burden was on the defendant, the only burden anywhere, evidently evidentiary burden anywhere, is beyond a reasonable doubt. That would mean that they thought that it was the defendant's burden beyond a reasonable doubt. That's how my client could. There's no preponderance. These are jurors. They don't know about preponderance. The words preponderance of evidence don't appear in the jury instructions anywhere. So it's unclear how they would know that that's supposed to be that one thing is supposed to be preponderance of the evidence. And I see that my time is running out, is actually out. With that, we would just ask that the court affirm Judge Dare is granting the new trial for Mr. Juma. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McDermott. I think your time had run, counsel, if there's anything pressing you need to bring to our attention. Thank you. Well, Mr. McDermott, you've served by appointment of the court, and you have the deep thanks of the court for the fine job that you have done today on behalf of your client.
Thank you very much, sir.
And indeed, with our thanks to both counsel, the case is taken under advisement.